in perhaps, you know, the world's greatest sporting precinct, right in the shadows of one of the world's greatest cities.
I used to love the roar of the crowd.
Magnificent mark taken by Royal Park.
A fighting dream at a time.
He gets inside, well inside.
In any weather you can see us with your grin. Listening head and skin. You're not really behind the chair.
Oh, Cochin, just a little bit of genius.
And welcome back to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andy.
And I think this is going to be an interesting show this week.
Do you?
Yeah. I've been doing some research on TSC Cup, that had a look at free agency, the VFL. You know, got an interesting range of things to talk about.
I thought it was unfortunate that you had your gastro bug last week, because if ever there was a good week to take a mulligan on the show, it would have been this one.
Well, and both of us had watched the replay. Like, I was good to go for that episode. It was kind of frustrating, but yeah.
So I don't want to let's get through both games quickly, but just as a from a macro perspective, which game disappointed you more?
Oh, the West Coast game. That was, that was really painful. The Adelaide game was frustrating because it felt like the game was closer than it panned out. Like that, normal players who are good at having shots outside 50 score at about. Kick goals about 50% of the time, and so Adelaide's kicking at about 75% was pretty unsustainable, and it just sort of just exacerbated a sense of we're not playing all that well and things aren't going our way. But the West Coast game, I didn't have any sense of particular ill fortune. We just got flogged, and they played their style of football, overwhelmed our style of football, and that was pretty depressing.
It was the West Coast game. I was our listeners were spared my analysis why we might have a shot of being vaguely competitive in the West Coast game, not necessarily winning, but you know, potentially coming in within the point spread. And when Prittis got out, I didn't bet on it after Prittis went out, but it got down to 26 points. There was a hope that we might have a hard fought loss. I completely agree with you. I found the Adelaide game. Frustrating watching the easy over the top goals, watching their small forwards dominate after we played rants on bets. I found that tactically frustrating. But yeah, as far as you find as overwhelming soul crushing domination, I think setting a new record for fewest inside 50s or second. Worst for Richmond, second lowest ever since I started recording up to half time. That was pretty bad. Yeah.
Yeah,
so I think you're right.
There were, and after the game, when it looked like David Asprey might have a serious ankle injury as well, I just that was a low point.
Do you have any observation? Like, I mean, it was extraordinary how bad the inside 50s were, and that was partly reflective of very unbalanced contested ball ratio. Do you have sort of any particular insight how we can have such a lopsided inside 50 ratio when the clearances weren't, we lost them and we lost the disposals, but it wasn't a complete flogging?
No, I mean, it was a perfect storm in terms of Subiaco being quite a narrow ground, making it sort of easy for them to pack a zone, us having trouble picking our way through that zone, having only one functioning marking target up forward compared to, you know, when we're playing well, we have three with Jack Lids and Ty. Yeah, it was a perfect storm of events.
Not good. Anyway,
no, few not notes. Good. Well, there is. I do. We come. I think we should both recognise the players who don't deserve the blame for the current situation as well as the ones who do. And I do think we should do both in the course of this show without dwelling on some of the media narratives. But if we are going to talk about media, it was hard to avoid the highlight of Daniel Rioli buzzing around the internet over the weekend. Do you want to start there?
Yeah, why not? I was about to start with another positive in Cochin, but yeah, it was. We shouldn't get overexcited. He's getting less than 10 possessions a game, but it was a lovely goal.
Well, he's had seven shots on goal in his three games for four goals, which is pretty tidy work. And the way he's doing it as well, like as of this moment, he's I think already clearly the best put forward pocket we've had since Robbie Nahas, back when Robbie Nahas was good for a couple of seasons. And he's got the potential to be even better than that, which is kind of exciting.
Well, I mean, Lloyd is on track to have a 40-goal season.
Yeah, but I don't quite think of Rioli in quite the same way. Like that, he's Lloyd's sort of more of a mid, and just not that lightning quick classic forward pocket front and center.
Okay, that's fair.
Rover, like a. You know, when you think of sort of, I mean, Chris Nash was kind of a combination of the two, who's sort of is the most successful Richmond small forward of the modern era. But yeah, there is. It is a very exciting position. Yeah, yes, Cyril's never won a ton of football, but when he's playing well, he's a ton of fun to watch. And Dan Rioli has been I've mentioned before, he improved rapidly over the course of his draft year. But he's further along than I expected. It's fun to watch.
I agree. We shouldn't pin our hopes and dreams on him.
No.
But yeah, great start. Any other positives for you? Well, actually, the positive I wanted to mention was, you know, he's not in Brownlow form, but Cochin had 16 contested possessions. The only person on the team who had more than 10. He was decent the week before with his contested possessions. He's not killing it, but he's sort of around 15th in the AFL in contested possessions per game.
Yeah, and that's a career high for him. He's polling well in coaches' votes. You know, he is him, Alex Rance, Jack Rewalt. None of those guys. They can look their teammates in the eye and say, well, what are you doing, as far as I'm concerned? Kendon McIntosh.
After that game, Jim's been okay in all the games, but both Rance and Jack have had uncharacteristically bad games this week. But
Jack's had, yeah, he's contributed in every game. Rance has won sort of semi-bad game, but they're both playing pretty well. Kendon McIntosh being top 10 in the AFL in rebound 50s is a mixed blessing as far as I'm concerned. There's an upside to that in, yes, he's winning quite a lot of football. He's taking some marks. But, yeah, he's part of it is that he's getting a lot of opportunities to get the ball as a defender.
Yeah, he had 8 clangers on Friday night and wasn't particularly inside either. So, yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah, I mean, that's partly a function of West Coast did a very good job of making those guys make decisions under a lot of pressure. I thought, how do you think Corey Ellis coped with the pressure?
It's all right.
Hmm.
If Frank was expecting, like, he was a good news story, 20 disposals.
And he's steadily building as well, which I like, in a fairly quiet and unobtrusive way, but he's getting a consistent run of football and he's playing better as it goes on, which I like.
Agreed. He's quite outside. He's not getting much contested ball.
No.
I don't know. This is... Frank says some funny things about things when we get drafted. I'm still waiting for Nick Vlostone to transition into midfield. And sort of Corey is advertising the inside bit, and he's playing very well. But his class inside, he's not showing that yet. But, you know, as you say, it's a good news story overall.
Yeah, look, his stats as a junior were very good as a inside ball winner. So,
and they're okay,
you know. Oh no, they were pretty good. He's got to build up a lot physically because he does get knocked off the ball pretty easily as a inside player at the moment, unfortunately.
Taylor Hunt having put in one of the worst Richmond games I've ever seen was actually inexplicably dropped for 1 week, wasn't that good in the VFL and got promoted. But having said that, got 19 possessions and went at 90% and only had two tack clangers. So, you know, good on him for...
being less terrible.
And having the mental ability to bounce back.
Look, I sort of got the rants on bets thing just as that if you accept the premise, which I did, that Hunt and Morris were pretty much unplayable. So, you know, it does help for team balance that Hunt wasn't quite as terrible this week.
Had it been a different coach that gave Morris all those games, I would say yes, but to me, it just looks inexplicable. And since we're on the topic, why on earth Batchelor's best, almost perfect matchup in the AFL is Darling, and we didn't play
Darling. Darling did him. I agree with the point over his career. Darling did do him last time.
But why does Batchelor go from being an essential part of the team and then not play it against the 1 week when we clearly needed him because we started with Vlostone on him? Anyway.
Yeah, Bachelor's form hasn't been great until this week.
Like, well, how do we know? He was never a dominant player in the VFL. It's like he was picked for his structural, what he gave for structurally, and suddenly that's not fashionable anymore.
Well, and I get why that's not fashionable because he doesn't win a ton of football. He did help us be a better defensive team, and I think there was a conscious effort to try and become a more attacking team, which. For instance, playing McIntosh in that position, although McIntosh is probably playing Grimes's position. But, yeah, they've tried to get a bit more attacking, but there's some consequence. You know, we're not as good defensively as a result, so I sort of get that.
You get it. That's great for you. I can't believe we're not playing, especially when Grimes is injured. I mean, I was fine with the experiment at the start of the year, but... Let's move on. We'll agree to disagree on that. Anyone else positive for you?
Look, I thought, there was... Look, Grigg tried, although, you know, only with so much success. There was Sean Hampson getting injured, extremely frustrating.
Good timing.
Because he played a really good game the week before. The week before was the best game I think he's played for Richmond. And just not getting any continuity in his football. And
that's all right.
Maybe it solves the question of whether or not you play two ruckmen. Because, clearly not if Hammer's not fit.
He's only got a corky. He might be back.
Yeah. It was a bad corky, though. I wouldn't. And for a guy who sort of looks perpetually like he's on the verge of falling apart anyway, I'd be surprised if he played this week.
Very occasionally on the internet, people brought up the fact that Ty beat Nick Natanui in an under-18s game once. I think it's fair to say that people won't be doing that anymore.
No, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, no, absolutely, as Friday Night demonstrated.
Yeah, I think he was a bit psyched out. Ty is capable of disappearing for stretches of a game, even when the crowd doesn't hate him. But, it wasn't his best effort.
More forgivable when you're playing forward. It's easier to go missing when you play forward. Ruckman shouldn't go missing.
Well, and
I don't think we need to overstress that.
No, well, and Ty Vickery, you know, he's always going to be frustrating because he wins less football than he should for a man of his size and skills. But, you know, you can't ignore the fact that he is absolutely elite kick for goal, and he's a very consistent goal kicker. But let's file that thought for later on. I want to return to the topic. Anything else from the game you wanted to cover?
Well, Edwards and Dusty are both not playing well
now. No, they were both in my notes on exactly the same point. And look, there are some pretty good reasons for both. I mean, Dusty's going through a fair bit in his personal life, which has been extremely well covered. He's winning as much ball as he ever has, but sort of he feels like he's not impacting games and he's not getting on the scoreboard, which is a source of much pain because few things bring me as much joy as Dusty kicking goals.
And Edwards doesn't look fit. I don't know.
He's had a collarbone injury, he's had the hand injury, but whatever it is, yeah. When you look at the numbers for why our contested possessions off this year, as it has always been the case, it drops off badly when you replace Ivy, who's well above average in clearances and contested possessions at his position, with Hammer, who's well below average. Sheds is well off, and I think we're going to have to reconcile ourselves with the fact that this is finally the year when his dream of winning 6 consecutive Most Improved Player awards dies. Dusty's not quite winning as much contested ball, and Miles is out, and Lids is the other member of our team, of our top 6 contested ball winners from last year. Like that top midfield group is either absent or, with the exception of Chimp, they've been playing below par.
Yeah. And the only mid we brought in was Townsend.
Yep.
I think that's it for the game for me.
I didn't have anything else. What did you want to get to next? VFL?
Yeah, why not?
Well, as you know, I'm a long-standing connoisseur of Liam McBean mixtapes for his goal-kicking exploits. And I was, when I heard about him kicking 5 goals, I was pretty excited. And sadly, the tape's not quite as thrilling as some of his previous exploits. But 17 disposals, 8 marks, is a pretty good game. He was probably flattered a little bit by the number of, there were a few, you got uncontested marks near the goal square, but I'd gone a bit quiet lobbying for McBean for senior football because, frankly, the reports from the week before were of him not cracking in and presenting hard, which, is fatal for a key forward. But, yeah, this week, much more encouraging.
Yeah. So it does also make you think... the Richmond VFL team, having been sort of a bottom third team in the VFL. Does make you wonder how many team goals he would have kicked had the Richmond VFL team been sort of in the finals mix a bit more often. Because you kick five without playing particularly well, if that's the case.
Oh, I think he played well, but I actually think the goals were actually not quite as important a part of the story as they often are for him. Like, yeah, just being that consistent, productive, big marking target. Yeah, that's extremely useful.
I wonder what his preseason was like. He seemed to like in the preseason he was in the doghouse.
Yeah, it was as one of the few, very few players not to play in any of the NAB Cup games. That would seem to be an accurate reflection. Anthony Miles apparently started slowly, but worked his way into the game, 30 disposals. You know, if he's physically feeling better, hopefully it's straight back into the senior team. We mentioned Batchelor.
Funny injury, that one, that he could still play VFL but couldn't play AFL.
Yeah, well, I had in my notes from that Adelaide game that, frankly, if that is that version of Anthony Miles isn't particularly useful to us, because he's uncontested. He was getting a lot of fairly cheap disposals from handball receives, but he was well off on his contested work. And frankly, other people do that. Players in outside are better suited to play as an outside midfielder than he is. Like, he is an elite inside ball winner, and that's what we need him doing well. I mean, it wasn't a secret that he had an injury in pre-season. I was slightly surprised he played VFL, but I'm glad he played reasonably well, and I'd like to have him back in the team.
Well, Andrew Moore didn't do much to cement his place.
No.
In fairness to Miles, when he was killing us and not getting selected in the AFL team, he was in the VFL. He was often getting 30. He was getting more than 30.
He was getting more than 30. And Andrew Moore had 15 tackles the week before in the VFL, which is an extraordinary high number. So I get why they gave him a chance, but yeah.
Didn't exactly take his chance.
Didn't take his chance. I loved that photo of him with Kel Moore and the family. That was, you know, you get so caught up in the, you know, the wins and losses. You know, you do. It's easy to overlook the people involved, and that looked like a really nice moment.
It's good that we flew him out.
Yeah,
because I presume Kel Moore's not based in. In fact, I know he's not based in Perth because he owns a pub, I think.
In Richmond. Yeah. One player I've very much got my eye on was a emergency for the Adelaide game. Was Oleg Markov. Had 19 disposals as a wing half forward. He's a bit of a way away. I've mentioned before he's trying to make the leap from the SANFL reserves last year to the AFL, which is a pretty big leap. He's going okay.
Yeah, it's a good start.
And Jaden Short dropped for, I think, for some reason, for a pretty ineffective game, but came back and had one of his better games in the VFL. So, I like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's good that he's showing getting plenty of ball, as you say, because it's a good sign for his development.
Mm. Yeah, well, because he's not, with Daniel Rioli, you've got the Cyril Rioli template of how he can win a game and only getting 15 touches a game. Whereas Jaden Short, I think the bar's physically, he doesn't have that ability to do the freakish, so he has to do a lot more of the consistent, so 20 disposals a game does have to sort of be his benchmark or pushing there.
Be interesting to see how he develops, whether he can transition into a more midfield player as he grows up. Probably not, but
he did that role as a junior. He was a sort of half forward, mid as for Northern Knights and won, and he was an elite player going inside 50, which was one of the reasons I was excited when we drafted him. So, yeah, if he can build up that part of his game, I'd like to see that.
Of the senior players, Townsend and Markham were slightly disappointing if we were sort of looking for a white knight to come in and play well in the seniors. But on the upside, Nathan Broad and... I mean, his numbers weren't outstanding, but McRae described it as the played his best game for the club. Mm. I know he hasn't played that many, but
It's
nice to have that said about you.
I like to see guys adjusting to the level, because it is a step up. That, you know, that as people adjust, they get more and more comfortable and they play better and better instead of being found out by the quality of the play. And look, it's absolutely nothing to do with playing senior football this year, but Ivan Soldo is playing noticeably better than he did last season.
And just on the VFL list of players, just noting that Tom Couch, who was 27 disposals, is a son of Paul. And, tortured Richmond a few times.
I know. You do get some interesting stories in the VFL. Going down even one further level of football, I don't want to go into too much detail about it, but people just need to know that Patrick Naish, who's a father-son candidate for next year, we've mentioned him before on the show, but he's going nicely for Northern Knights. So far, we'll keep watching it. I don't think he's going to be a messiah, but yeah, he's tracking nicely.
Now, Nick, you've been looking at free agency.
I know. Look, in the quest to think about things other than the current state of the Richmond football team, I've been having a look at free agency, and it is part of it was a bit depressing. I have to admit, however the AFL intended free agency to work, it hasn't particularly turned out that way. This is an already, the free agency list are getting sort of thinner and thinner each season. And as of this moment, I think it's fair to say that Ty Vickery is the second best free agent available at the end of the year, which says something about the quality of the list.
Yeah. Who's the best, by the way?
Yeah, hooker.
Yeah, so I guess it's on that uninspiring note, it's worth noting that there's been public media rumours about Prestia.
Well, yeah, he's, and to be clear, he's not a free agent, so he would have to be obtained via trade. I've got my eye on a couple of Fremantle players actually. If we were going to go the free agent route, Zach Clark is behind Griffin in the pecking order and an unrestricted free agent, and I've always liked Chris Mayne as well. Again, not a world beater, but often there's better value in some of those sort of second tier free agents.
Yeah, well, we'll see. You'll have to excuse me if I'm a bit of a skeptic about our capacity to attract exciting free agent or effective second tier players.
Well, our free agency record stands up, you know. So, God, you compare it to Collingwood.
It was a good while ago.
We haven't had one for a while, so, you know, it's not.
Yeah, good point.
It's unfair to compare, you know, delisted free agents with Troy Chaplin, or I suppose it is pretty much only Troy Chaplin and Chris Knights. They're the only two we've ever signed.
yeah.
But yeah, free agency certainly isn't working as a way of promoting equalisation between clubs.
Nope, that's true.
But it is. I wouldn't be surprised if we get some tie victory speculation over the course of the year. I mean, people still say they expect him to re-sign with Richmond, but you know, it's a thin list. You're looking for, and Ty Vickery isn't a world beater, but if you're looking, how effective could he be in the David Hale role? Well, he could be really effective. So, yeah, that's worth following.
Yeah, it is. And I guess a lot will depend on the form of the senior team.
Oh, well, and, you know, a lot of things go into player negotiations. It's sort of how much money he wants and how much money we're prepared to pay and how much money other people are prepared to pay. That's always, you know, first order of business.
His dad is the boxing coach, but there's a lot to go on. But I think in AFL, a few 10% extra is not as important as it is in the NFL.
It matters. So Melbourne this week. The Melbourne games the last 2 years, I think, are both my least favourite games of the last 2 years.
Yeah, I was shocked when I went back and looked. I'd sort of wiped it from my mind, but the last Melbourne game was
Was atrocious.
Yeah, it wasn't even close. I'd sort of put it down in my head as a 3-goal loss, but no, it wasn't.
No, and the Paul Roos parking the bus. We had key personnel out in both games. We kicked badly in both games. Melbourne took their opportunities, often on the break. Yeah, I'm really hoping we don't see that again. And we're still favourites.
Last I checked,
only just.
I checked just before the show, and I was dead even. I thought.
We need to harmonise our betting sites because we were 2.5-point favourites on the one I checked just before the show.
It doesn't matter; it's close enough.
Mm.
They're actually playing a reasonably young team.
Yeah, so I'm jealous. I'm jealous of Max Gawn. I wouldn't want to buy stock in a 23-year-old ruckman who's already had two new reconstructions, but he's playing really well at the moment.
Yeah. I think, it'll be interesting to see how the game plays out. The season's not over.
No.
Obviously, the team needs to play much, much, much better if they're going to have a credible run to finish back in our rightful seventh. But they, we don't have to play much, much, much better to beat Melbourne. We just have to play considerably better. So it's not without hope. Marich's timing is excellent, particularly since Hammer's injured. But you know, if ever there's a time you need his leadership, this would be the game. And you know, it's sort of hopefully a circuit breaker for the team.
Well, yeah, the report from training today was pretty positive. So fingers crossed on that. Hopefully we can get Shane Edwards playing a bit better. I'll be interested to see what they do at selection. I hope hope they stick with Ellis and Menadue combination. But you know, I expect they will. But
why would you stop now?
Well, yeah, good. Menadue didn't play as well this week as
had 16, didn't he?
Yeah, he had 3 kicks. Yeah, it's sort of because he's not going to be a great inside player. We do need him using his pace to sort of break lines and kick the ball. So, you know, it wasn't as good as his previous weeks, but I'm certainly a fan of his work. I would obviously love Liam McBean to play. I think it would be, you know, worth a crack to get the forward line functioning. But I do think that whatever we do with either our defence or our attack, the midfield has to play a lot better. And that's where it starts and ends for me.
Yeah, I think it'd be good look for the coaching staff to play Mick Bean.
He's only played one good game in a row. One very good game, but
he played plenty of games in the good games in the VFL last year, which means he's, and the first good game he played in the VFL meant that he exceeded Ben Griffiths' some title of good games in the VFL career total.
Yeah, I know, but McBean can, you know, he can only play one position, so that's Griffiths always gets the.
I'm sure he can bring the same intensity to the ruck contest that Ty bought in the second half.
Well, then,
last week's game.
I know, but yeah, I do. You know, I wouldn't mind revisiting. Hopefully, once he gets over his hamstring, I wouldn't mind revisiting the Ben Griffiths as ruckman thing. But I do. Yeah, let's play the Ty's backup ruck. Lids, McBean, Rioli, Lloyd, Jack in the same forward line. I get kind of excited just talking about it.
We'll see. It's a big game.
Oh, come on. Work with me. How can you not get excited by that forward line?
I've watched... Yeah, it's a big improvement. It'd be nice if we got a decent crowd. It's a big game.
Crowds are not our game before. Crowds are not our problem. And let's crack in, win in midfield. Well, if we break even in midfield, I'm pretty confident we'll win.
Not against Melbourne.
Really?
Well, that's the problem we've had in the past. We've had plenty of the ball. Anyway, we're getting off the point. We've already analysed the fact that they were quite efficient against us in the past.
But, look.
Well, we actually lost. We did our only contested possessions against the Crows. I think we did, didn't we?
We did.
So it's not what happened in the West Coast game hasn't actually happened in our other three games. It was different. But there's lots of reasons. It's a 50-50 game according to the bettors. After this week, if we beat Melbourne, we play Port in Melbourne. And then...
Another winnable game. Yeah.
Then they go into to play the Hawks with a vague chance of writing the season. So as much as things look like now... In no way do I share your enthusiasm because...
I was very specifically enthusiastic. I think that is the best. That's the most exciting forward six that I can remember as a Richmond forward line for some time.
On that note, we should end the show.
Okay, I'm Nick.
I'm Andy.
We're Richmond Tiger Talk.